In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let us move expeditiously, expositorily into our dissertation this morning. Everyone take your document. We're in volume 2. Repeat after me. Scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity. From manifestation in time. Now we're in volume 2. And for those that are viewing or listening through our website, webcast, amen. If you go into either section of the video or audio, there's an icon you click on in this entire document, volume 2, Scripture Distinctions of Actualization in Eternity for Manifestation in Time, and come up, and it would be very helpful as you follow us as we move through our discourse. Now, I'd like for you to turn to page 2 and our base dissertation scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. And Elder Liberman is our designated reader. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Amen. Here Paul lays out the essence of how and why and what, and then when he gets to this portion of the epistle, he conveys, as he had begun in the first chapter, as he prayed the eyes of your comprehension or your understanding be energized, enlightened, that you will know what is the hope of whose calling?
His calling.
Mm-hmm. So it's about God. I was explaining to him in the youth class this morning that this is not about us. It's about Him. It's all about Him. I understand this. The Creator creates the creatures for the creature's pleasure. No, the Creator creates the creatures for the Creator's pleasure, for the Creator's purpose.
Yes.
Now, the Creator creates the creatures, and the emphasis and the focus is on what He created, which are the creatures, and not on the Creator. I don't see how we are alive. Yet we think that, you know, no one argues the fact that we are creatures, that we were created. Yet, the thinking is the focus and everything is about pleasing, amen, the creatures. And that the purpose now is focus on the creatures. It's the creatures are purposes within themselves. Yet the Creator created them. You see, something is wrong there. The focus is on Him. Now, this information does not come without price. There's a price that comes with this information. Before we get to the 17th verse, and as we look here in Ephesians, I want to just hit on one small tidbit. And I want you to understand this. For those who say, well, I want to get deep in the Word of God. I want to know Him. I want to get to the essence of receiving, amen, the glorious things of God. It comes with a price. Elder, before we get into it, let's Everybody, just turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. Elder, read that one verse.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes... No, 3:13, I'm sorry. Okay, 3:13. Okay. Right. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory.
You don't get stressed out. A disillusion that I'm suffering. Paul said, look at what I'm carrying. Here God had, by revelation, given him a message that was hid from all the previous generations and had placed a dispensation upon him. But it came with a price. Suffering is concomitant to, it's accomplished, it's a part of, amen, deep knowledge. Read that from the Greek.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, in the interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, I ask not to faint in the afflictions of me on behalf of you, which is glory of you.
Glory of you. Now, you see, the benefits outweigh the inconvenience.
Come on, Pastor, preaching
now. I look at ministers today, and the many of them they're looking for the path of least resistance, and they evaluate and rate success on how well things flow for you. If you are moving through this terrain and there's no opposition, you better stop and look around. Something is wrong. All who would serve God and live godly, what? Must suffer. You don't ever hear that, do you?
No.
Do you ever? Jesus, talking to the mother of Zebedee, the
right,
sons,
right,
said, "Can one sit here and there?" And Jesus said, "What?
Right.
Can they bear the cup, or can they deal with what it takes to sit there?"
Yes.
And I said to you this morning, amen, if God has given you the illumination and given you the insight, he also, amen, has some experiences that go along with it, and some of them you're not going to like. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. Comes with a price. Hallelujah. All right, now let's. That won't cost you anything. That's a tidbit. Amen. Let's move to our turn. Look at page 2.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I think in Bible study we had started. I'm going to do a little reprising. In fact, I'm going to do quite a bit of reprising this morning. Amen. We're in volume 2 of the document for those that are watching. Amen. Volume 1 is also available in our Doctrine and Discourse section under, I think, Manifestation and Actualization. In that Volume 1, we dealt with several things. I might as well reprise that now. Number 1, we talked about God's ontological existence in himself means being. God's being is in himself. We were made beings by God. God is the self-being. Also, we talked about the existence of everything was actualized, and that's right, initialized and actualized in eternity. How? By God's decree. All ontology of being, a study of being, has to focus on God. He is the source of all existence. Then we talked about all possibilities were actualized in God's eternal decree. Then we dealt a little bit with scripturally cognitive aspects of probabilities. Well, Pastor, you know, you all, no. You need to know what's going on. Life is just not, life is not about what you see. In life, all you got is what we call a labyrinth. I don't think I got that word in, amen. You know what we call the maze? You're looking and all you see is a lot of twists and turns. You know, whenever have we gone to like the fair carnival and you walk through the glass house? Huh? And you better put your hands out in front of you, because otherwise you're going to bump your head many times. And that's what happened as we move through life. We steadily bumping our heads. Boop, boop, boop. Because everything is distorted. And the only way to see crystal clear is to receive the light of the revelation scripturally as to what is. Scripturally as to what exists. Scripturally as to how things function and move. Also, we talked about is the locale of God's created acts in eternity, the beginning of time, or in the sphere of time. Where do things actually reside? Also, we talked about God's eternal plan and purpose concerning all things actualized by his decree in eternity and manifested in it. Time capsule, and so everything that's going down already is. Already has been. Amen. And there's a plan and purpose for every bit of it.
Hallelujah.
We talked about the capsule of time renders creation exclusively in eternity. The timelessness of God. God is not locked into day. How could he? He created today. How can he be subject to that which he created? And then what? One that causes a little controversy, the factual impact of daily decisions and choices. We think that we start out each day and we decide what we do, and we do some of them, we don't. We don't decide any of them. We decide none of them. Everybody say, everything is already done. They're going to fight us on that. Then we talked about joining faith to free will and amateurly produces futility of uselessness. That we don't have an agenda. We have imaginary itineraries. God has the agenda. And things don't move according to fate, not free will. Then we talked about scripture analysis of human limitations as opposed to human perceptions. How things work. How things are, as opposed to how we view them. And then one that I'm praying that of all the things that we received from volume one, viewing the temporary worldly from where? From the eternal heavenly. In other words, from the eternal view, looking down on life instead of around in life. The scriptures, our gospel, our contract allows us to look down on things instead of around in things. Now, eternally confirmed election basically speaks of God's eternal choice and having placed us as sons. Your first placement is in the body of Christ. Your temporary placement in these bodies. But you never leave the body of Christ while you consciously associated with this body. And a man's in Christ, or whoever's in Christ, what?
New creation.
Right now, new creation. New creation. And so, you know, I've asked the question, when I die, where am I going? Where are you going? The bigger question is, where did you come from? Because
right.
Where you can only go where you came from. Oh my God. And we ended up in that first volume, which was five parts, temporal and eternal things compared. In other words, here's what I see, and it's temporary. Here's what God has said, and it's eternal. Should be a no-brainer. Which one? Which one are we going to depend upon? What God has said, or what we see? And that's the task of the grace ministry, as we focus on these. Now, one thing we have to understand is that it's by revelation. If you understand this, it's because God has pre-assigned knowledge to you. Now, this does not mean, and I know we're going to get a letter or something. I'm not saying, if you don't understand this, you're not saved. Thank God. Our status in Him is not based upon what we know or don't know. No. For His purpose, He aligns that some, not all, of His people, of His elect, will come to know this and understand this. And it will become a working part of you transcending beyond the things that are around you. Those that are so blessed, God has a purpose for you, knowing this.
Yes.
Understand this.
Yes.
But as we said from that 13th verse, it comes with a price. Paul suffered. Sometimes I hear them saying, I want to sing like angels and preach like Paul. You don't want to be in Paul's company. Everyone of his partners in the ministry had a problem. Timothy was sick. Titus. One person, I forgot his name. Like, he had to leave him somewhere and keep going because he was too sick to travel. Ophibus. Can you bear this cup? And are the benefits of knowing this worth you bearing this cup? And Paul spoke on one occasion, amen, as he has received this and what had happened to him along the way, as he compared, amen, what he had gained with what supposedly he has lost, amen. And when he saw, amen, that something went along with this, he said, I would gladly, oh my God. Enthusiastically. You don't want to hear that, do you? No, you don't want to hear that. Yeah, basically, we're telling you five ways how to stop, how not to suffer. Here the scripture says you're going to suffer if you receive this, and now they're saying five ways to keep from suffering, which means also five ways that you're not going to know anything about anything. You're going to be in an illusion. Everything that happens in your life, God has a purpose. All the reverse things, God has a purpose. But beyond those things, He has given light. He has given light. And John writes, and the light shineth forth them, and the darkness can't apprehend it. Oh my God, hallelujah. And so as we receive this, it is glory. What did Paul say in that 13th verse? I'm going to get hung up back there. The Greek word, the Greek now, thosa, which is translated glory. Glory. If there's glory in this, say, well, now, to get to the glory, you're going to have to take on the baggage of suffering.
Hallelujah.
The problem is many want the glory, but they don't want the suffering.
I can hear you.
Whatever's happening in your lives, troubles, problems, reverses, setbacks, as we view them, because basically we're assessing things based upon what we see.
I hear you.
Remember.
How that thing looks. It's how it is. No, it's not. Remember the man, Jesus, he had his eyes and he said, I see men as trees. He touched them. Oh, now I see men as men. Men were men all the time. Men were never trees. You're looking out and that thing is killing you. And it's not trees. The process wears out because, we do not see beyond the process God's purpose. Everybody say God's purpose. All right, let's look at verse 16. Let's start with verse 16. Elder Reed.
In the King James.
No, King James said, amen. Not going to get us so far today anyway.
Okay, Ephesians chapter 3.
16. In fact, just go on down to verse 19. We're not going to get that. Verse 19. All right, read.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Begin with verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by a spirit in the inner man.
Where? Where in the world?
The inner man.
Huh? Which is not speaking about our depraved mind. He's talking about the you in Christ. Not the you in the flesh.
Amen.
Flesh and blood can't inherit it, can't comprehend it. Flesh and blood doesn't like it. Flesh blood can't resonate with this. Read.
Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith.
Now we'll straighten all that out. Keep going.
That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
Now, I want you to read that from the interlinear, and then we're going to read it from a document, a literal translation from exegesis that we have gleaned.
Ephesians 3, verse 16, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
In order that he may give you according to the riches of the glory of him by power to become mighty through the spirit of him in the inward man.
Okay, you see how basically he's ignoring what? Aorist tense, because that's the rule. He's a Greek scholar. But no, he's doing what the regulators are saying here. Because we don't talk like this. When through exegesis, when we read from a document, we are going to adhere to and follow the course of the grammar to the T. And it's not going to sound right. Because you don't say, I went to the store and said, when? You said, tomorrow. Somebody said, well, man, you need a rest. But it's all from the vantage point of where you're speaking from.
That's right.
If you're speaking from time, no, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
If you're speaking from eternity, that's the only way you can talk, because everything is what?
Done.
Complete. Read.
Verse 17, that to dwell Christ through faith in the hearts of you,
mm-hmm,
in love, having been rooted.
And see, in some cases, he'll follow it. What? You see? In some cases, he will follow it.
And having been founded.
My thought is, if you're going to jump out there halfway, why not go on all the way out?
Amen.
Having been rooted and what?
And having been founded.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
In order that ye may have strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth.
Mm-hmm.
19.
Uh-huh.
And to know the excelling knowledge, love of Christ, in order that ye may be filled to all the fullness of God.
Now see what the difference here is, what we get ready to read. And I said to again, those of you that are watching, I'm fully aware of what the Greek Bible Society rule is, and even the Greek grammar as it has been basically set as an algorithm as it relates to how things are expressed. But when the Holy Spirit is speaking, he is speaking from eternity, not from time.
That's right.
And there's too many aorist tense for us to just jump through this as though we're moving through time and processes and completely ignore God's completed purpose. I want you to go to page 2 at the bottom, and for those that are watching or listening. Here we have the Greek script, and right above it, the base dissertation scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And we have the Greek there, right out of the copies of the manuscript. we're going to follow it. A literal English translation according to eisegesis. Elder, why don't you read that literally?
The literal English translation.
Mm-hmm.
That Christ to dwell.
No. Amen. Here, I give you mine.
That's what I have.
All right, then we got some mix up in this. Probably the typist. Huh? All right, let's go to Let's Brother Deacon, what is that first word there? Are you?
Yes,
aorist infinitive. All right. Where did we start? We started at 17.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's back up one to 16. Read 16. Everybody got 3:16. Amen. Mm-hmm. No, in the King James, and then we go to the
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 in the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man.
All right. Did you read from the Greek yet?
No.
Read it.
Ephesians 3:16, Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Three sixteen, Greek text.
Mm-hmm. And all of that.
Okay. In order that he may give you.
Okay, I see. That's with it. That he may give. That, Brother Deacon, is a what? The Greek verb there, tho. It is a prayer, but also that's an aorist tense there. He has granted. Now, what Paul is saying is not everyone has been granted this. But for those who God has granted his prayer, and then this is why when we pray, we say what? We say, Lord, your will, what? Is done. And so, basically, this is how he's tying this in, and his prayer is that according to the riches of his glory, they have been granted this. You see the same construction in chapter 1. He said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding what? Be enlightened. So the Greek word there, so, it's an aorist tense according to what is laid out there. I'm speaking to the ones whom God has granted this, and I don't know who you are, but that's who I'm talking to. Because I would not dare pray a prayer without in that prayer saying what?
Lord, according to your will.
Your will is done.
So
it's already granted
right.
To those that the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Has so pre-assigned it to it.
Mm-hmm.
Finish that up.
in order that he may give you according to the riches of the glory of him by power to become mighty through the spirit of him in the inward man.
So he would give, having given. Follow this now so that we can all be on the same page at 17. I don't know who you are. There were some that were sent and we received this and understand it, but it is only because God has preassigned for you to understand.
That's right.
You know. And the others will say that preacher's crazy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. 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 And that's the only difference. And it's a gift.
Yes, sir.
And you don't brag on the gift unless you're bragging on what?
The giver.
The giver of the gift.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So for anyone that says that those that teach the deep things of God, that we are doing it in order to ego trip, you just don't understand. So I got this great big. So where'd you get it from? I was given to me. What you bragging on?
Oh, number.
The fact that I got it. What about where'd you get it from? That's where the glory goes. Everybody said pre-assigned knowledge. I remember you got all these passive voices. So if you're getting this, don't stick out your chest. In fact, don't even say thank you, pastor, ministers. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Who's the teacher? The Holy Spirit. Now we're ready to move to 17.
Verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
Greek.
The literal translation to dwell is that's that katekise. Katekise.
Okay.
Katekise. That is an aorist infinitive. You're correct. Read that.
Literal English translation.
Mm-hmm.
That Christ to dwell.
Mm-hmm.
Heaven dwell.
Stop. Now. That is an infinitive, right? The pastor, you get so technical. And hey, once we get this, we're going to go through and we're going to be praising God because we know that it's not us that's picking this up.
Amen.
In the English, we treat infinitive, which is the verbal what?
Noun,
by putting to in front of it. To go, to be, to say, which gives the inference of what?
Future.
Because if you're going to, you haven't done, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you got the aorist tense here.
Mm-hmm.
To dwell.
Heaven dwell.
Heaven dwell. Read.
To dwell, heaven dwell through faith in your hearts.
Uh-huh.
In love.
Uh-huh.
Having been rooted.
Having been rooted.
And grounded.
When were you rooted and grounded? Oh, they're going to come after us. Well, the day that I decided to, I was watching on TV this morning. Someone was leading someone to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Said a sinner's prayer. Oh, they're going to come after us.
Mm-hmm.
From this point on,
mm-hmm.
you're saved. From this moment, because you uttered something, you're saved. Our goal and our task as a ministry is to take salvation out of time. When will you say? In eternity. What does before the foundation of the world mean? Before the creation of the world. What does before time eternal mean? Before the world began. Now here the scripture is conveying to us essentially that God saved us before he made us into this form. Not 3 minutes ago you were not his, but now that you have uttered some prayer, you are his. Read.
That he may be, having been strengthened.
When were you strengthened? When were you enabled to know this? In eternity. And that's not the difference between someone who's saved and someone who's not saved. I keep saying that because that's what they're going to come at us with. And try to distort what we are saying here. Some of God's people will know this because he has purpose for some to know this.
Amen.
Read.
Having been strengthened to comprehend, haven't comprehended.
So I don't know this yet, but that's manifestation.
Amen.
That's process of testimony.
Amen.
And that which you understand, you didn't just quote understand, you just came to understanding in manifestation. Amen. You were pre-assigned what you understand now.
Amen. Amen. Yes, amen.
Everybody said purpose.
Purpose.
Read.
Having comprehended with all the saints what the breadth and length and depth and height.
We'll get into that fourfold aspect, not today. But the first one is spiritual. It means extent of purpose. Other three speaks of the algorithm. It's what we call space-time, which is translated here length, depth, and height. Read.
To know, having known.
Man, that's crazy, isn't it? No. He's speaking from eternity. Now, is this saying you will know all of this in a glorified manifestation in Christ? You know it all. In time, what? You know some. Paul writes to the Corinthians, says we see through what? A glass obscurely or darkly. That is now. Said, but then what? Face to face. You'll know it all because it's right there in your face. I'm just using the vernacular there. Full discernment in the body of Christ with all the saints.
Yes.
And what does that trust, that love, that knowing translate to? Read also what?
To know, having known, also the love of the Christ.
There
is exceeding the knowledge. That ye may be, having been, filled to all the fullness of
that
God.
You completed the body of Christ. But as we move through time, he causes some of us to know several and different segments for purpose of testimony. That's how it works. Clock is beating up. Let's go to our glossary of definitions for a second. Let's start with reality. Reality is actually existence. True or certain. Everybody say relativism. Concept according to cultures and situations based upon what you're focusing on. What is a thing relative to? Relativity. How an entity relates. How an entity relates or aligns with a separate or remote non-related entity. In other words, basically, we're in the enclave or enclave of time which is foreign to realize existence. Why is it formed? Because in time, nothing actually exists but testimony. It's formed because the reality of all things are in eternity. Nothing exists in time except testimony. Manifestations. As I was speaking in the youth class this morning, we went to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And if you didn't know this, when you read that verse, it would seem like Paul has lost his mind. He said, we're not looking at what? Things seen. What are we looking at? The things are not seen or unseen. Why? Because the things that are seen are what? Nothing there. But testimony. But the things unseen are what? Eternal. Temporary. Eternal. Should be a no-brainer. Why is it temporary? Because there's nothing there but testimony. I was telling one of my grandsons this week, Babylon is buried under what? And they have to dig to get to the artifacts. Persia. All of those big, beautiful buildings and cities, they is buried under what? Iran. And all it just has to do what? Got to dig to get to it. It's to get just to the artifact. What was there is gone. Well, we look around and we see this. The miracle, all of these. Oh, no way can all of this. Please.
That's right.
Nothing's there. But testimony. So we must relate everything to God. Everybody say, according to God.
According.
Everyone says sagacious.
Sagacious.
That's the eternal prospect of wisdom. In other words, knowledge, wisdom, according to eternality. That's the difference between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, we'll get into that.
Yes, Lord.
Our problem is, I see my time is on. We're in the world, we're living, we got our jobs, and I would advise you to get one if you don't have one. We have our families, and amen, that's the process. And we view this almost as forever. And none of it's forever. And that's why in that 18th verse it says we're not prioritizing, we're not focusing on it, we're not counting on it.
Glory to God. Thank God.
In Colossians, Paul says, set pay attention, a focus on the above things. And in case anyone didn't understand, not on the things of the earth. How much do we hear that? Now this is very important, because if you don't understand this, life is going to beat you up. I want to read one paragraph out of, let's turn to page 5. It says introduction, second paragraph. And here, as we move through this, I want you to keep in mind where we should keep our focus. And it's not on us, and it's not on what we're doing.
Amen.
Because we're not going to be doing it long enough to
the
problem. Listen, well, Pastor, you said what we're doing every day. No. As it relates to time and your resignation here, but always know that there's something higher and deeper than what you're involved in. And you never get to the glory in time.
Never.
It's in eternity.
Yes.
How many people have sought it in time? I mean, they got where they thought they were wanted to go. They got there and it wasn't what they thought it was.
Hallelujah.
It wasn't the glory they thought it was. I was I think I said to someone this week, I said, the fool has said in his heart, that's what the scripture says, there's no God. I would argue 10 seconds with an atheist, because this is by revelation.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. Now let's go through this in the next 5 minutes and I'll be down. You got the second paragraph introduction. Everybody, amen. It says humanly depraved reasoning. You got that?
Amen.
That's on page 5, second paragraph. Humanly depraved reasoning exhibits in the enclave or enclave, whatever your pronunciation preference might be. And that's foreign territory. No, God's not foreign. If we separate from things, from God, we are no man's land. That's where we're going with this. In the enclave that even God's existence within wouldn't provide absolute principle and purpose of a person's life, as such must extend in creation's shared participation. What about what I'm doing? What about what you're doing? This thing has got to be about me. No. Who are you? I am only who I am in relationship to who God is.
That's right.
Then what are you? I'm a member of the body of Christ. Plus what? You can't add a plus to that. That's as close as you get to God.
Yes.
And that's very close. The reckoning is other merely in declarations of some of God's people that seem to maintain that their sermon in God's will is defined in focusing on their individualized agendas, which affords distributive purpose in them. How many ministers out here psyching people out talking about their destiny? What is your destiny? Your destiny is God's design for you in this life. But your ultimate destiny is that you are in Him. No matter what you pick up here, you're going to leave behind. The only thing that you take out of here is what you brought in. But that means I'm not going to take anything out. Well, that was before Revelation. You brought your salvation in. That's why you take it out. Oh, give God a praise.
Thank God.
Oh, my God. Let me finish this up. So this thing is not about my agenda, what I want. God's going to help you reach your dream, your goal. That's a sight job. Your life is not about you and what you want. It is in this uninformed sense, the unintentionally malign God's sovereignty and immanency, that's importance, indoctrinately contending that their, quote, free will, by averring a claim in humankind, isn't, and this is how they appeal to our egos and pride. Listen to this. Quoting, humankind isn't confined in God's totally coarse arrangements or consigned to mindless obedience like domesticated animals, but is certainly of rationally intelligent creatures. Oh, I got a man. Go ahead. One day Nebuchadnezzar, this is from the Old Testament, up on top of the tower said, look what I mean. Not long after that, he was in the field doing what? Who controls the hearts and the minds? Even those that in Congress this morning that said, we're going to shut down the government.
That's right, God.
You have the power to shut nothing down. If it gets shut down, God has a purpose for it. It wasn't you that shut it down.
That's right.
Moreover, they debate whether God's desire such undiscriminating obedience. I'm not a robot. As such is unworthy of the inspirations of humanly volitional responses. And you know where that thing starts? It starts with salvation. Whatever you think about salvation, if you think, amen, that you went out and you obtained your salvation, that you did something that initiated and put it in force, then that's just the way you think life works. But if you understand that it was prearranged, isn't it better to just, as the old slogan goes, take the bus and leave the driver?
Right. Huh? Lord, hallelujah. Amen.
Are you going to move through the terrain of existence and you don't know a thing about it? It'd be like up there trying to fly a jet. This week, I read about the plane took off, I think, from Houston bound for Seattle, and the captain, the pilot, had a heart attack and died. And of course the co-pilot had to bring the plane on. Both of them have a heart attack. What happens? No one else knows how to, you know, and we're not making, you know, light of that. Our hearts go out to the family. But here the point I'm trying to make is, how are you going to go and maneuver through the terrain of existence? You know as much about that as the less about that than the average person was on that plane, other than the pilot and the co-pilot.
Yes. Yeah. Hallelujah.
You partnering with God. We don't know. How can you know about salvation when that salvation is an eternal entity? Hear this, sir. The initiative of God's creation does not certify in his pre-designed fulfillment of his eternal purpose in life. That's what they say. So God, each day going through making, I guess my time's up, going through each day he's making decisions. Something jump up, you go, woo, and God go, oh, what? He's trying to make up his mind as to what he's going to do about this, that, and the other. And so you pray and you ask and you're trying to help God make up his mind. Are you trying to influence him in what he does? No. That's not the way to hope. That's the way to hope is this. That's not the way to trust. That's the way to tremble. That's not the way to believe. That's the way to doubt. Every bit of your hope is an eternal hope.
Hallelujah. Come on,
sing the song. My hope is built on nothing less than what? His blood starts with salvation and his righteousness. His, him, he, related to God, according to God. It's all about depending upon him. Because I don't know how to fly that plane. I know nothing about it. My hope is an eternal hope.
Thank you.
On Christ. Everybody say on Christ.
On Christ.
Say it out loud. On Christ.
On Christ.
It's all on him. On Christ.
On Christ.
The solid rock I stand.
Hallelujah.
All. Hinges all. Hinges it all. Hinges it everything. My God. Everything.
Everything
is about him. And nothing is about you and me. God bless you.
Thank God. Give the Lord another hand. Amen. Amen. Amen.